The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. We go to hour two here, waxing the mahogany. You just heard Michigan, a winner over Buffalo, but they don't cover. Are you kidding me? You can't beat Buffalo by more than 12? I mean, you got to be kidding me. If you're such hot to trot number sixth in the nation, which, look, college basketball rankings are complete, farce. What a joke those things are. They're worse than the college football ones. Is there anything dumber than the rankings in college basketball all season long? They come out with this stupid weekly AP and coaches polls and all this other nonsense. Meanwhile, it doesn't mean jack. It really doesn't. I mean, all the blue bloods get ranked whether they're good or not. They all end up, it's the same thing every year, all these teams. Michigan ranked sixth in the country. You can't beat Buffalo by 13, 14, 15, how about 20? Like Florida State tonight, right? They were laying 19.5. They're destroying Penn right now with 5 minutes left. They're going to put a buck 20 on them. They're up 95-59 right now. I mean, honestly, I think that's pathetic. You know what I mean? Like, just, you got to finish teams off. And I remember today we were talking about that Long Beach State. They're favored over Idaho. That game's tied right now at 85 with 20 seconds left. Florida Atlantic was favored over New Mexico. They're going to lose. The Gauchos are up on San Fran State by 27 at the half. UNLV's up 3 on Gardner Webb at the half in Vegas. How embarrassing is that? Are you kidding me? Your basketball program sucks too. Your football team's a disgrace. It's a high school team, but your basketball program is dipped at a level of you can't beat Gardner Webb. I don't care how good Gardner Webb is. UNLV, can you imagine back in the day? I mean, honestly, Jerry Tarkanian is rolling around in his grave right now that they can't beat some hack Gardner Webb team in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack. You can't finish them off by 20. They're up 3 at the half. It's embarrassing. It really is. Temple blew out Maryland Eastern Shore. Old Dominion over Virginia Wesleyan. Rutgers a winner in overtime over Lehigh. It took Rutgers overtime to beat Lehigh by 3. That's embarrassing. Seton Hall handled their business. They kicked Fairleigh Dickinson's ass. Mafia knows how dangerous it is for us to talk about Seton Hall basketball on the grid because of the legalities of gambling in New Jersey. But I'm not talking about spreads. I'm not talking about totals. I'm talking about wins. Mafia, are you excited that the Hall started off with a big win tonight?
Of course I am, but I mean, that's the type of games that they're supposed to win every year. You know, these small Jersey colleges that they play from time to time, the FDUs, the, you know, the St. Francis's in the New York area, those kind of schools. Then, you know, when it gets to the legit ones, when they get some of these bigger games that they get in these conference, these tournaments, preseason tournaments, that's where they really got to, you know, let it go and not be the ones that get smacked around.
I gave you that Bobby Moe, 18.5 today on Coast to Coast against UCF. They covered. They lost by 10. I gave you Wake. They beat William & Mary, 77-59. I gave you K-State. Now, I want to see this. I thought K-State would. I don't even know what the number was. They won by 10. I said Vandy won't. I don't know how many. They were laying like 22 or something. They didn't cover. 91-72, they won, but they didn't cover. Mississippi State, I said would cover. They did. They blew out North Alabama. I said Tulsa won't cover. They didn't. They won by 7. That final of New Mexico, 99-92 over FAU. DePaul, 97-72 over Coppin State. There you go. Wyoming, 85-47 over Mercy. I had Wyoming lay in the 4. I want to see that Penn State score. That's what I need. Wasn't Penn State playing tonight? I mean, honestly. Yeah, they were. 75-59. I don't think they covered Youngstown. Yeah, they did. They covered. They covered against Penn State. Yeah, they did. They covered. How about them apples? I hit the Penguins against Penn State. Beautiful. Anyway, college basketball is underway. Very exciting. Kind of a pain in the ass, though. Mafia, didn't you think it was a pain in the ass to see like 300 college basketball games last night? There were so many games that I just quit giving scores. I just was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going through all these scores. I'm not going through all these stupid scores and teams. I went up and down the list. If you weren't a heavyweight, like that everyone and their brother knows your name, if not like every single, like UCLA made the list, right? If you weren't up to that level, you didn't get mentioned. And by the way, we welcome all of our radio affiliates to the show. And
you don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell.
I bro on a bench, Mafia. I didn't get to finish what I was saying with you about all those games. I mean, there's so many college basketball games on a nightly basis. It's enough to choke on. I mean, I was just like, I can't even take this. I can't. You know, you and I've been through this before with the picks of having to do all these basketball picks, these college basketball picks. And I honestly am at the point now, like at this stage this year, my age, who I am, what I believe in. I just don't think, frankly, anybody gives a rat's ass about, you know, 75% of these games.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, I think all the time you see so many schools get different. When, you know, college football, you have the subdivision, you have the splitting of, you know, who really matters and who doesn't. And even then, I mean, let's be honest, anything outside the Power Five just doesn't matter to the committee or most fans. You went to that school, sure, you're excited about it. Otherwise, most people aren't even touching that with a 10-foot pole. College basketball, everybody's on the same, you know, on the same tilt as far as the NCAA is concerned, even though they're really not. So you have a million games, and it's not just like college football where it's like, all right, once a week you have every big game, or you know, you have a couple days where they're kind of spread. It's these teams are playing two or three times a week. So you have 30 to 50 games that matter just about every night, except for, you know, certain ones where there's a little bit less spread, but there's so many games constantly, you just drown in it.
I'm not going to sit around waiting for college basketball lines to come out. Did you see me today? I was like, all these stupid games, I'm like, will cover, won't cover. I don't even care what the line is. I'm just like, I mean, honestly, I can't even take it. I am going to narrow this down this year like nobody's business. I mean, I'm going to find the best games every night, and every other game can kiss my ass. I mean, see you later. I don't care if you win or if the building catches on fire. By the way, I'm watching hockey right now. Hockey. Wednesday night on TNT, they got a game always. Right now, it's the Wild and Coyotes. What could be worse than this game? But the Wild, easy money, up 3-1 now on the Coyotes. Fiala with a beautiful goal out of the air, a wicked one shot out of the air, a second goal of the season. Kevin Fiala getting involved as the Wild now up 2 goals in the second, early in the second, a couple of minutes in. And earlier, the Leafs beat the Flyers 3-0. And the game that I really like betting on today on Coast to Coast, I took the Predators to win in Dallas, and they doubled them up 4-2. Nashville wins it. So I need this Wild game to cash for me. That's for sure. And in terms of the NBA, still not at the half yet. Lakers up 52-51. That's the score I'm seeing right now, and I'm sticking to it. Been a pretty good game, back and forth, lead changes left and right. And the Heat now up 53-52, make it 54 on the free throw. And then the Nuggets lead the Pacers 96-94 with a minute left in the game. Suns up 11 on the Blazers with 3 minutes left. And at the half, the Warriors up 15 on the T-Wolves. I want to look at the numbers for Steph Curry. He's only got 10 tonight after having 50 and 10 the other night. He's 3 of 6 from the floor in 17 minutes. I mean, that's surprising to me. He's just like he's not trying or something. Wiggins, 9 of 9 from the floor and 22 points to lead the Warriors. And Poole's got 9. Looney's got 9. Et cetera, et cetera. The Mitten, they call him. Gary Payton II has 7. They call the father the glove. They call the son the mitten. I've heard it all. Heat 57-55 on top of the Lakers at the half. You know, the funny thing is that I've noticed in this game, and you can see it if you're watching it yourself, is that LeBron James is in street clothes because he's injured. And he's giving the refs the business. He's walking on the floor, arguing calls, like walking on the court and arguing with refs. I've seen him do it tonight multiple times. What in God's name is happening there? Like, what am I watching? This guy, what right does he have at all to be on the floor arguing with refs in street clothes, injured, with the Lakers? I mean, like, sit your ass down, stay out of it. You have no say in this. You're not a coach. You're not the owner. You're not anything. You're injured. Why is this guy allowed on the floor in the middle of the court arguing with refs? Is that not your boy? That coach is so bad. I don't even know his name. Frank, what is his name? What's the guy's name, Mafia, the coach of the Lakers?
Frank Vogel.
Yeah, your boy Frank Vogel. He's so bad I can't remember his name. Frank's out there. Isn't that his job? Isn't that his job to argue with the refs? You got LeBron James on the floor in street clothes with a mask on his face arguing with the refs the whole game. How is that possible? How is that even allowed? I've never seen that before. I've never seen a player in street clothes on any team ever allowed on the floor mid-court arguing with refs. What the F is that? I mean, are you kidding me? How is that possible? I don't even know how that's happening. I really don't. You know, it is amazing to me that he's just not playing. I mean, is this the way? Is this the beginning of the end? Because I understand. I get it. No one can stop him. I get it. He's great. I get it. He's brilliant. I get it. He's unstoppable. Everybody loves him. He's the greatest player ever. I get all that. That's fine and dandy. The reality of it, though, is he's been getting injured lately, last year, this year, and he's not playing. Is it not noticeable to you, Mafia, that LeBron James doesn't play anymore?
It's absolutely noticeable because you see it the way the team has just been not the same at all. They're just nowhere near what they are when he's out there. Even if he's not there at 100%, he just changes the dynamic, how you have to guard them, how you know defense shifts, how the other players fit in. So it has been a huge gap for them, you know, these last couple of years with him hurt. And you know, we always talk about Father Time's undefeated. This guy was a tank. You couldn't stop him. He only sat out when he wanted to rest, and now all of a sudden he has more trouble getting on the court than he does, you know, dominating teams. And the same thing we saw, you know, with Kobe in the latter years of his career. It just doesn't matter how amazing you are physically, how gifted you are, at some point your body just doesn't hold up to the banging and the rigors of the NBA day night in, night out anymore.
So in that game, Tyler Hero has 15 to lead the Heat. And as far as the Lakers go, Bradley has 14, AD has 13. And one other note, in the Nuggets game, there's 27 seconds left. They're up 4. Remember, they're playing without Djokovic tonight. And I took him to win outright, getting 3 from the Pacers, and they're up 4 right now. That's crazy, right? I got to see who's producing in that game for them. They got their top guys out. And then Brogdon's got 23 for the Pacers. Sabonis has 20 and 19 boards, the massive double-double. But Will Barton has led the way with 30 points, 11 of 19 from the floor, 6 of 9 from downtown. Will Barton getting involved. That's impressive. And then the Suns just won by 10. They were laying 5.5. And in that game, Dame Time had 28. But on the other side, Frank the Tank Kaminsky had 31. CP3, 21, 4-7. But Frank the Tank had 31, Mafia. 31, 7-3. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Hi, Mafia. So you didn't tell me what you think of the Mike White chances against the Bills at Snoopy on Sunday, as the Jets will go with White over Wilson. The knee is not ready yet, and they're going to go with the backup White, who had the big win against the Bengals. But then when he played in his second game, he got an injury to his forearm when he got hit throwing a pass by a helmet. What do you think he'll do against Buffalo, coming off of Buffalo's terrible performance against the Jaguars? You know they probably had a rough week of practice this week, coming off of that loss, that performance. They looked terrible, and I'm sure they're just not having it in Buffalo. So they're going to want to come into New York and kick the Jets' ass. Do you think that White can do anything against them? Do you think he can pull off an upset? Do you think he can pull off the cover?
No, he cannot pull off an upset. Honestly, after what I saw in Indy last week, even a cover is going to be very, very, you know, tough at best. I think that, you know, like you said, it's the perfect storm of terribleness for the the Jets right now. This guy had a great first game. No one expected anything from him. He did incredible. But then people watch some tape, find some tendencies, and he got picked apart last week. They had some couple nice plays, but for the most part, it was nowhere near what it was the week before. And then now you get a Bills team who's, you know, heads and leaps above you. They are way better in every facet of the game, and they had their worst game of the season. So it's one thing if they went and smacked on the Jaguars, and now you're coming in, they're a little, you know, overconfident, and they just think it's, you know, nothing, you know, no hard time for them. It's going to be easy. It's in the bag, and you could maybe catch them sleeping a little bit early on. But now they're coming in angry and they want to prove a point. It's going to be bad news for the Jets.
So no love for your team, even though he got injured, and that's why they played so poorly. They didn't have him playing. But when he played with the Bengals, he pulled off the miracle. You don't think the guy could have another good game and be in that game?
I think he'd have a good game. I think he could have 200, 250 yards, but I'm not expecting, you know, 330 yards, three touchdowns, and, you know, they're within 10. No, I'm not expecting that at all.
So no faith in the gangrene against the Bills on Sunday.
Honestly, I'm surprised they're even playing him. I mean, I guess you're seeing what you have with him, but if the guy got banged up, well, I still don't get why we traded for Joe Flacco if we're never going to use this guy. Like, isn't the point of getting the veteran to try to get some of these young receivers and stuff, the experience of playing with a guy like that and trying to figure out, you know, tinker with this offense with a guy who knows what he's doing and has been there before, as opposed to, you know, Wilson and White, who have never played before with this rookie head coach and rookie offensive coordinator? I thought the whole point of getting Flacco in here was to teach everybody some things, and somehow this guy just still isn't playing. I don't get the point was trading for him.
So you think that Salah should have started Flacco?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you trade for him if you're not going to use him.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It really is truly unbelievable what has happened to Joe Flacco. Like, he won a Super Bowl, and now he stands on the sideline, and guys like Mike White play in front of him. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, listen, he got older, and so it deteriorated his body a little bit, and then you had the neck issue. He had some serious injuries, but if you're still hanging around, he's still there, and he's there for more of the experience. He's not going to make the big throws like he did. He's not going to make these bomb throws that he did to Bolden back in the day, but, you know, he can show you where the gaps are in your planning, you know, with this young team. He can show you what you're not doing right because you've never called plays before. And for some reason, I mean, I guess they just figure they're going to do that from the sideline, use him as another coach. But I think his experience on the field and him being out there and seeing things on the field would be a lot more useful to them than him being on the sidelines and watching those printouts.
So tomorrow night at Hard Rock in Miami, the Dolphins take on the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson, who continues to pull rabbits out of his hat and have double-digit comeback wins as the Ravens continue to have one miracle after the next, winning games and being in a position of power in the NFL and definitely in the AFC and certainly in the AFC North. Do you give the Brissett-led – there's no way Tua's playing, in my opinion. You're going to play the guy with the broken finger, the guy that's got swelling, the guy that's still not healed? You're going to play him over Brissett? I doubt it. Do you give the Dolphins any chance at all against the Ravens tomorrow night and the 7.5?
I do give them a chance, and they've been a team that I've had trouble figuring out. Both these teams, honestly, because, you know, the Dolphins and Brissett, they had that one, you know, the first game he played for them against Vegas, he was awesome, kept that in that game. And then they go the next week to Indy, you figure that'd be one he'd want to prove, the team that he wants to show up, like, hey, you had your shot with me and you moved on to bring in all these old guys. And, you know, that he had a great game to build off of and that they were going to go from there with the defense holding him down. He didn't have to do that much. And he got slaughtered. You know, this team has been up and down despite the talent that they have on the defensive side of the ball. This Dolphins team half the time can't stop anybody, and, you know, half the time are scratching and clawing and making a tight game. So you don't know which one it is, if which week they're going to play the right way, which week they're going to get slaughtered. But against a team like the Ravens, who have let a lot of bad teams hang in there, you got to expect that they might have a good chance here. Like you said, you know, the Lions had to go last minute. They had to go last minute last week against Minnesota. These teams that they should have a good chance of beating by double digits, they're getting scraping, clawing wins where Tucker is the hero in every game. So you got to assume on a short week, they're going to have a chance of letting the Dolphins hang in there.
So you realize that if Baltimore loses that game, if somehow they lose to Miami, which could very well happen, you never know. I mean, I know a couple of years ago, whatever, they beat them 40-0. Those things happen. But I don't see that tomorrow night. And we'll see if the Dolphins can fight and try to upset the Ravens. And if they do, do you realize that if they lose that game and the Steelers beat the Lions on Sunday in the game that I'm going to at Heinz Field, that the Steelers will move into a tie for first place with the Ravens? Can you even believe that? If they lose tomorrow night in Miami.
That is amazing, given the way that the Steelers, you know, had that great win to start over Buffalo, and then we all kind of just threw dirt on them after that from the couple of losses that they put together, but now they're bouncing back. They've, you know, hasn't been pretty. It hasn't been the Steelers of old, you know, where Big Ben just flinging all over the place and they're pounding the rock and they're shutting people down, but they're getting wins, and that's the name of the game in the NFL. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's only for the betters where you have to worry about the spread. For the teams, it's just about getting that W, and they've done a great job to claw back here and get back into this division race and jump over these teams that we thought they were going to have, you know, all of them in front of them. We really thought they were going to be, you know, one of the last teams in that division, possibly, that Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore were all going to be over them. And all of a sudden, they're right back in this, only a game behind. And I think they'll keep pace against Detroit this week, but I don't see Baltimore losing this game. They could. They've, you know, been more crazier things in the NFL this season, especially last week with some of the upsets we saw, but I just don't see it happening.
You know, the bottom line is that the only team hotter than the Steelers in terms of the Steelers have won 4 in a row. The Titans have won 5 in a row. And as far as I'm concerned, the Titans, I don't know. I think the South's over. I think it's over and done. I think the Titans will win the division. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, when you have a division that half the teams are the Jaguars and the Texans, that kind of makes it a lot easier to run away with. But then, you know, the way that the Colts have struggled to help them, and they've done a great job. You know, we just said the Steelers, we threw dirt on them. I mean, I think a lot of people were looking that way too with the Titans, maybe not burying them at that point, but when you lose to the Jets and Zach Wilson was tearing them apart for his first career win, everyone's like, what the hell's going on with this team? Like, maybe they're not that good. Maybe the defense can't stop anybody, and it's Derrick Henry or bust, and, you know, they just don't have the horses on the other side of the ball to keep them in these games. And then all of a sudden, they've just turned around and ripped it off, and against good teams, too, you know, beating teams like Buffalo. You know, they've gone on the road and won games. They lost Derrick Henry and still have found a way to win. So this is a team that's got a lot of pieces that are adding up to the better part, you know, than the sum of the parts is better. You know, that together, they are a good team. You look at them individually, and you're like, yeah, I don't know, especially the way the receiving corps has been so banged up throughout the year. You know, Julio's barely played. He's looking the same as he was in Atlanta, where he's great if he's in there. But you never know if he's going to play. You've had Brown had issues with injuries at times, but still, they find a way to make it happen every week. Vrabel's doing a great job.
And they're 4-1 away, 5-1 in the conference, 3-0 inside the South. It's amazing. The greatest race is that AFC West, where the Chargers are 5-3. So is Vegas. Kansas City and Denver are both 5-4. And Kansas City and Denver have both won 2 in a row. So the Chargers have a big home game this week, and you wonder if they'll be able to handle their business. And Vegas plays the Chiefs, so that's a huge divisional game right there. And that's the Sunday night game in Vegas. We'll see if Vegas can stop the Chiefs. It hasn't been that hard for anybody to stop the Chiefs. And obviously, as far as the Chargers go, they got the Vikings in SoFi in a 4:05 tilt on Sunday. And like I said, the Chiefs-Raiders game is the Sunday night game. Kansas City laying 2.5 as the road favorite. So that's interesting. And then when we come back, we'll have a chance to look at the NFC in terms of the divisions, see who's leading, who's on top, who's chasing, who's got a shot, who doesn't, who's going to end up with the top seed in the NFC in the playoffs. All that's at stake as we get into week 10. Of course, you hear players complaining about having to play 17 weeks. Cry me a river. The union and the players all agreed to the deal. They got to live with it. It's Pharrell on a bench.
may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Test yourself. If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, so Farrell on the Bench with the NFC, you're looking at these divisions. Dallas, even though they looked terrible against Denver and got lit up and lost, they are 3-1 at Jerry's World, 3-1 on the road, 2-0 in the division, 4-1 in the conference. They've been scoring tons of points. You know, one of the top scoring teams in football. Not the very top, but right up there. And then all the rest of those teams are so awful, Mafia. Philly, the Giants, and Washington, 3-6, 3-6, and 2-6 going down. Philly, Giants, Washington, beneath Dallas. I mean, you know, Dallas obviously wants to get it right at home this week against the Falcons. That number's 9. Do you think they can handle the number against the Falcons? Do you think they beat the Falcons? And do you think they handle their business the rest of the way and win that division?
Well, I think they're obviously going to win that division. I don't think any of the teams in there, you know, the NFC least once again. I mean, I know you went down to Philly for the 1 week. 0-4, they haven't won a single game at home. How do you feel if you're an Eagles fan paying all the money you are to go see season tickets and you're halfway through the season, you can't have a single win at home? They just are absolutely terrible. They're actually a lot better on the road at 3-2. It's amazing. I just think that division's complete crap, you know, outside of the Cowboys. And that's why you had a game like Sunday. They're probably, you know, looking behind them saying, we don't have to do anything. We could just, you know, they took it a little too easy. They took the Broncos too easy, and it cost them, but they don't have to worry about it. It's not like they have that fire under them because it's just going to be an easy way for them to just go to the playoffs no matter what. I think they ended their business against the Falcons, but I think the Falcons might cover. They're one of those tough teams. They always blow games late. You know, there might be another situation where, you know, they can get up early. They can have a couple of quick scores. I mean, I know they're down with Ridley out, and they've had other guys that have been in and out of that lineup, so it's been a kind of a mess for them in the first year under the new coach there. But I think that they can still have enough offense to stick in that game with the way that Pitts is catching the ball and probably lose by a touchdown late instead of, you know, covering that big number.
So in the North, Green Bay has a heavy lead over Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit in last. Detroit's 0-8 going to see the Steelers. Haven't won a game, home, road, none at all. They've given up, only Houston's given up more points than them by like 13, 14 points. But Detroit's defense is atrocious, and it's just going to be too easy for Green Bay. Does Green Bay, obviously they're going to win that division. Do they get back on track against Seattle with Rodgers back at the helm after all of his drama? I'm so sick and tired of Aaron Rodgers and vaccines and lying and all of his appearances on shows and just endless, the rhetoric and BS that comes out of his mouth. I just can't even take it anymore. I like watching him play football. I don't like watching him talk about the world.
Yeah, and that's the problem with some of these guys get too into the celebrity and they love to just pontificate about every single thing. And, you know, I think he has the weekly appearance on McAfee, obviously, that you can see on Sports Grid. So I think that one, I think, is a little more, you know, relaxed, free for him. He's just saying what he wants. I don't hate that one as much as some of these other guys. I mean, the Brady, you know, as we've seen him do his podcasts on Sirius XM, it seems like it's just him complaining about everything these days. Like, he's just becoming the old man that's going to rail against the NFL and everything that's wrong with it. Rodgers is a lot more free spirit with a lot of his stuff, so I don't mind it as much, but it does get to be a little bit much when he drags on about these things in these 40-minute interviews. I mean, the only way they don't win that division is if Davante Adams succeeds in recruiting OBJ to come play for them, right? Because he's a team killer. Otherwise, they run away with that division no problem. It's amazing because obviously we knew the Bears were going to struggle with Dalton. And, you know, when were they going to get Fields in there? We knew the Lions were going to be terrible because they're the Lions. But, you know, I think we expected a lot more out of Minnesota than what we've seen so far. They've been awful. The Packers are just, even if they put love in the rest of the season, I think they could still win that division. And I think they beat Seattle this week. I know Wilson's coming back, but, you know, he's going to have to get a lot of adjustments here with the way he's holding the ball, the way he's throwing in the first game back. I think that's going to be a big shake-up game for him where he tries to shake off the cobwebs and that the Packers still have no problem.
Don't you think that loser Beckham is going to choose Green Bay because they win so much and they have the best shot at going on a deep playoff run because he's talking about Kansas City and New Orleans? I'm not buying. Who's going to throw him the ball? Trevor Siemian? And I'm not buying Kansas City because at this point, I don't care if they've won 2 in a row or 10 in a row. They do not look like a dangerous playoff team to me with that pathetic defense of theirs. Don't you think he ends up choosing Green Bay to play with Rodgers and have a chance to win a ring?
Yeah, I mean, if he wants a ring, then that is the best spot of the ones you mentioned. I mean, of course, you heard other ones always thrown out, like New England, Tampa Bay. He's not going to England. He's not playing for Bill Belichick. There's no way that guy could coexist with him as coach. I agree with you. If you want to win, that's the best place for him to win. But he's been a guy that's all about himself. So if you're all about yourself, that's not the best place for him to go because he's not going to get catches over Adams. He's going to get catches over those other guys. But Adams rules that place as far as the receivers go, then he'd be better off going to, you know, New Orleans where you don't have Michael Thomas all year or Kansas City where these other guys are struggling maybe.
I don't think that Trevor Siemian can get the ball to him. I really don't. I think the Saints season's going down the drain because of the injury to famous Jameis. And I know they're right on Tampa's heels, and I know they beat Tampa. But I got to tell you, I don't think that's happening again with Siemian. And I think Tampa will end up running away with that division now because of that injury to famous Jameis. And I know that New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, as far as I'm concerned, Carolina shot with Darnold going down. They may have been shot with him standing up. And that, frankly, to me, it's Ryan and the Falcons. I think the Falcons have a terrible defense. In fact, I don't even need to think about it. They've allowed 220 points. But they are, I think, in the best position injury-wise to jump the Saints and chase the Bucs.
Yeah, they're in the best position to chase, but that's all they're going to do is chase because that's all they've ever done. You know, even since they've lost that Super Bowl, it's all been about chasing. They're always coming back from behind. They're always, you know, blowing games late. They're never being consistent. Even with the new coach, they haven't made the changes. They still have to make a bunch of different sweeping personnel changes on that team to even be competitive. They can chase, but they're not going to get anywhere near Tampa. They're going to run away with that.
Arizona is 8-1 and leads the West. Rams 7-2. Seattle and San Francisco. I'm convinced they're both finished. I'm not buying the Russell Wilson and Seahawks. I've already said on Coast to Coast, I think it's the beginning of the end of Pete Carroll in Seattle. And the question is, can Arizona hold off the Rams and win the West?
Yeah, that is going to be the big question because, you know, this is a division that we were talking the beginning of the season, a four-horse race. You know, you might get three teams from this division. People were picking the 49ers as a possible Super Bowl team, right? Jimmy G was going to do enough to keep that job, and that defense is stacked. Those two teams have been awful, Seattle and 49ers. And sure, the 49ers have been in some games. They've been close, but they just can't get it going consistently enough. They have not had, you know, outside of Deebo Samuel, they have had so many guys on that offense just do nothing. They've had, you know, half their running back core go down for half the season. And Seattle with Wilson, even if he comes back and he gets his form that he had early on, their defense is terrible. They have no defense. Their running game is weak. It's the same thing we've seen from Seattle year in and year out. Russell Wilson can run all over the field. He can throw the ball all over the field. Metcalf is a physical beast and can catch any ball you throw to him. But they can't stop anybody, and they can't run the ball, so they're going to lose no matter what. And it's just a two-horse race there, and it's down to Arizona and the Rams. It's all going to be about who stays healthy to me with those two teams. You know, whether it be quarterback, whether it be some of your, you know, top defensive players, health is going to be the key to who wins that division.
Well, the Cardinals host the Panthers on Sunday afternoon at 4:05 East on Fox, and I'm sure we're waiting on Kyler Murray. If not, Colt McCoy handled the job last week. Panthers have nothing but problems with injuries at quarterback. They got issues going out to Arizona. I think they might just get just plowed. And then Monday night, the Rams are in San Francisco playing at Santa Clara at Levi's against the Niners, who do not play well in that building. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And they're 3-5. I am not buying that team at all. So we'll see how that plays out at the end of the day on Monday night. So I'm, like I said, I'm going to the Steeler-Lion game. We'll see how that goes in Pittsburgh at Heinz. So much is riding on that Ravens game tomorrow night in Miami at Hard Rock. If they lose, it opens the door for the Steelers. And then that race in the AFC North changes dramatically the rest of the way, as Pittsburgh could go for their fifth in a row. If they can handle the crappy Lions, they win, let's say, their fifth in a row. But the rest of the way is no joke for Pittsburgh. They go to that. They have a game with the Chargers at SoFi the following Sunday. It's Sunday Night Football, by the way, against the Chargers. I do not think that's going to go well in L.A. Then they go to the Bengals on Thanksgiving weekend, where they've already got their ass beat by the Bengals at Pittsburgh. Then they play the Ravens in Pittsburgh at Heinz on the 5th of December at 4:25 in the afternoon. I might go to that one. Steelers-Vikings in Minneapolis, a Thursday night game right after that. So short week on the road in Minnesota. I think they might get ripped in that game. Then they play the Titans on the 19th. So they got the 10-day split that they get away after playing Thursday night. They play the following Sunday at Heinz, 1 o'clock against the Titans. And I think the Titans can go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers without a doubt. And then the Steelers have to go play Kansas City on the day after Christmas. Merry Christmas to that. You know Kansas City will beat them. But Kansas City's been awful, but they'll beat the Steelers on the road. And then they play the Browns at home on a Monday night game on the 3rd of January at Heinz, Monday Night Football. And then they finish at Baltimore on the 9th, their last game against the Ravens. Maybe that'll be for the world, that game. Who knows? The way the rest of the season goes. I think that schedule is brutal. I'm not one to go, you know, win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. But I'm not feeling it against the Chargers. Scared to death of the Bengals. Ravens, scared to death. I don't care if you play them at Pittsburgh or there in Baltimore. In the Charm City, you're in trouble. Vikings in trouble on a short week. Titans are better than the Steelers. They'll beat them in Pittsburgh. Chiefs on the road. Browns at home. Now, they did beat the Browns 15-10 in Cleveland a couple weeks ago. That was impressive. And then they backed it up, the win over the Browns, with the win over the Bears on Monday Night Football. Whether you like it or not, whether they had the taunting call or not, they won the game. So they got a tough haul the rest of the way. I'll give you that much. The Heat are up 73-71 on the Lakers with three left in the third. Good game in Lipstick City at Staples. It's Pharrell on a bench. Go with us. We'll wrap it up from New York.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
Heat by by 6 over the Lakers with a minute left in the third. The Warriors up, going to the fourth, 93-84. Steph's got 23 now at this point. He's starting to percolate. Bucks by 12 over the Knicks. Wizards win again. A three-point win over the Cavs in Cleveland. Cavs covered a 3.5. I had the Cavs. Nets win in Orlando, 123-90. Celtics 104-88 all over the Raptors in Boston. Pistons won in Houston in a good game. Cade Cunningham against Green. Pistons win at 112-104. Bulls by 10 over the Mavs. Hornets win in Memphis by 10. Thunder by 8 in New Orleans. Spurs blow out the Kings in San Antonio. Nuggets getting 3 at home. Beat the Pacers 101-98. Suns by 10 over the Blazers. Wild have opened up a can 5-1 on Zona in the desert in the late NHL game on TNT. And we had all kinds of action tonight again in the MAC in college football. You can't beat it, right? So I know I had some of these right tonight. There was a lot of action. Toledo 49-17 over Bowling Green. Had Toledo to win. Hit Northern Illinois outright 30-29 over Ball State. Hit Central Michigan outright laying 2.5 against Kent State 54-30. There you go. Tomorrow night, North Carolina and Pitt in Pittsburgh. Should be awesome. I'll see you at 4 o'clock on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Good night, everybody.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.